Reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke. Look at one more appearance of Jesus in this Easter season. This is the time in these verses in the 24th chapter of Luke when we learn in this Gospel that Jesus is risen. The women had gone to the tomb a bit earlier in the chapter, the first 12 verses, and found it empty. And angels were there, though, and told them that apparently in a vision, as we hear in these verses I'm about to read, told them that Jesus was risen. Yet nobody had yet seen him until he appears on this road to Emmaus, a town, a village about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem that does not exist today, but was certainly there in the time. And this is what happens on the road. Starting in verse 13 of chapter 24, I'll read through 35. Now that same day, Easter morning, two of the disciples of Jesus, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we do thank you for this, your word, and as we hear it today, indeed, speak to us of all it is that you have revealed, all of it, all that it is that you've given to us in Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. One more appearance of Jesus. One more time he appears in the Gospels. This is the first but not the last time here in the Gospel of Luke. As soon as they have shared with the 11 and the others what had happened on the road, Jesus will appear right there. So certainly we are being told this story to know that Jesus indeed is risen from the dead. But there's more here, isn't there? It's a long story that Luke shares with us and is kind of involved. There's more that he's about here in this passage. And I think he's showing us the answer to a good question. This is the season of year when we talk about Jesus having risen from the dead. I suppose the question that underlies all of that is why do we believe it? Why do we believe that Jesus is truly risen from the dead? We believe in Jesus. He's a man who lived, who taught, who did many things. He's a man who died on a cross at the hands of the Romans. It's all just part of the historical record. We certainly have some corroboration from outside the Scripture that all that happened. That's not what we say in this season of Easter. We say that Jesus is not only the one who died, but He is the one who is risen. Why do we believe that? Well, one reason is because of these testimonies. We have a lot of testimonies here in the Gospels. We've looked at several of them since Easter Sunday. Testimonies that of people who saw Jesus alive, who saw Jesus risen from the dead. And we have these stories related to us, many of them in the Gospels. Luke tells us in the first chapter of Acts that Jesus appeared many times over 40 days, showing himself to be alive, not dead. And we don't have all those stories. Each of the Gospels gives us a couple. They all tell us that the women went to the tomb that first day and found it empty. And then each of the Gospels tells us some different stories about when the disciples saw Jesus alive. There's many more than we have. Paul gives a list to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he lists some that we have no details of, including one time that Jesus appeared before 500 of the brothers, it says. He says 500 believers at one time. We don't know the details. Jesus appeared again and again. And because of these testimonies, we can believe. There is more, though. There is more. And some of that is revealed to us here in this story. The story happens on Easter. The tomb has been seen to be empty, but no one has seen Jesus yet. And these two disciples, we only know the name of one and have no idea who he is, except one of the guys on the road to Emmaus who saw Jesus. But they're disciples of Jesus. And they don't know that he's alive. They've heard what the women said, but they're not sure what to make of it. And on the road to Emmaus, possibly where they live, this could be a father, son, this could be brothers, this could be a married couple. We don't know who these people are. But they meet this stranger on the way who seems to be especially clueless as to what's been going on. The stranger has just come out from under a rock. Actually, he did, didn't he? And when he asks what they're talking about, they say, "Are you the only person in the world who has not been around? Have you just shown up?" The crucifixion of Jesus was a very public thing, and it may not have been the top news because how many people really recognized who he was, but everybody knew that the prophet who's been causing trouble has been killed, and you can go see his body hanging on the cross. It was public. It was meant to be public. But he plays dumb and says, What things have happened? And then they summarize, and they show how sad they are, how confused they are, how they had hoped that Jesus was the one, this prophet of God, who was to redeem Israel from its enemies, from Roman occupation, certainly what they mean. And yet now he's dead. But then again, it's the third day, and even though they never understood what Jesus talked about when he talked about him having to go to Jerusalem and dying, now in light of all these events, maybe it's coming back a little bit, saying, he did talk about dying, and didn't he say something about the third day? What was it he said? That he would rise again? And here it is, the third day, and well, the women didn't find anybody at the tomb, and well, we don't know what in the world's going on. And Jesus says, "Oh, foolish children, It's not a harsh word he uses there. It's more of a just a word of cluelessness. You think the stranger's the one who doesn't know what's going on. Haven't you read your scriptures? And then he goes and basically opens the scriptures to them. By the scriptures, he means the Old Testament. The New Testament, when this is being written, is being written. So when the Bible talks about scriptures or the Bible, it means the Old Testament. And he goes through the Old Testament and he shows them, it tells us, he shows them how all of this was predicted. All of this. It says in verse 27, beginning with Moses, that would be the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the law, the key books for the Jewish law, and all the prophets, which every other Bible in the old, every other book in the Old Testament was considered a prophet. So going through the entire Bible, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Of how it was necessary, as he says later in the chapter, for the Christ to suffer. And that through that suffering would come salvation, the forgiveness of sins. And this was done for the whole world. Jesus once again will open the scriptures in the appearance right after this passage when he appears to all the disciples together. And that's what he shows them. Why is it we believe what we believe? We believe because of these testimonies, what would become the New Testament, these stories of those who knew Jesus, who heard him, and who saw him alive when he was supposed to be dead. But we also believe because of the scriptures. Because in the Old Testament, in the long story of God's work with the people of Israel, we see the unfolding of the promises that Jesus has fulfilled. It's all there. Wouldn't you love to know what Jesus said? Don't you wish they wrote it down? Well, actually they did. And because of this moment, because he again does it with all the disciples in just a few verses after where I stopped reading, we know where the disciples, we know how they learned about what Jesus did. And so when we see the New Testament writers quoting from the Old Testament and telling us that this was to fulfill that prophecy and this happened to fulfill that prophecy, they're not making this stuff up. They got it from Jesus. Because Jesus was the one who opened their minds and showed them how the Scriptures testified to Him. We believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. We believe that He has done so for forgiveness for us and for the world, because that was the promise that God gave us and gave the world in the Scriptures, and that is what is fulfilled in Jesus. But it goes on, they still don't recognize who He is. They spend who knows how many hours, enough to take them to evening. It's getting late. You didn't travel at night in those days. Very dangerous to do. So they arrive at Emmaus. May have been where their home was. It may have been just a layover as they journey on the next day. We don't know. But they invite Him to stay with them because it's evening, it says in verse 29. And so they have a meal together. And in verse 30, Jesus, it tells us that Jesus was at the table. He took bread, and He gave thanks, and He broke it, and He began to give it to them. It's in that moment that their eyes, it says in verse 31, were opened, and they recognized that this was Jesus. Not a stranger, but the one in whom they had hoped, who they hoped would be the one to redeem Israel. And here He was, alive. And then He's gone. He vanishes from their sight. Why do we believe what we believe? We believe because of the testimonies. We believe because of the Scriptures. We can read the Bible and see how Jesus was foretold and how He fulfills all the promises. But we also believe because Jesus has left us His sacrament. What He's enacting there, you recognize the words. We just celebrated this sacrament last week. He gave thanks, He broke bread and gave it to them. This is a repeat really almost a pantomime of the Last Supper. It's what we do when we gather together and I take bread and give thanks for it and break it and we eat of it. And at that moment, Jesus is taken away from them. But you know what's still there? The food. The meal. When we come together and celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we're doing so because it has been given to us by Jesus. He left us this meal that becomes a key celebration of the Christian church whenever and wherever it is gathered. From the very beginning, it is Jesus among us. We believe He's there in the bread and in the wine or the juice that we use here. And we celebrate this supper repeatedly until the day that Jesus returns. And we celebrate that. It's a connection with that day in Emmaus and with that evening, the night before He is crucified. We believe because Jesus has given us this supper to do. He has given us Himself and is among us as He has given it. We also believe because our hearts burn. That's what they say, isn't it? After they recognized Him and their eyes were open, they recognized Him, He disappeared from their sight, and they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? You see, what brings us to belief is not just stuff in the mind. It's not just, we can't be argued into belief. We can't be argued into faith. We can't be shown all the promises and how Jesus fulfills them and learn from the Scriptures how it all makes sense. And it doesn't bring us to that moment of faith. That moment of faith when we believe is when our hearts burn. Believing in Jesus and following Him is not just something we do in our minds, but it's something that involves our heart. The very center of our being. And there comes a time when our hearts burn. If we are followers of Jesus, there is a time that has happened to us. Where it went from being something that we just believed and knew and something that we felt. And that therefore became defining of who we are. You know, a lot of you know my story. I'll really briefly summarize it. But it was that same journey. I grew up in the church. I knew the stuff. I was at a Bible camp that took me deep into the Scriptures where every day I was forced to go. It sounded dreadfully boring, but every day we read the Scriptures and studied them, and I began to see the great story of God's redemption worked out in Jesus, something like what Jesus shared with those disciples on that road. And I began to see how it all fit together. At the end of the week, I had a new knowledge. I learned a lot. At the end of the week, when they said, "We know God has done this because He loves you, and He wants you to know Him and you to be His child. If you want that, stand up and dedicate yourself to Jesus." And suddenly that wasn't a thing of head knowledge, that was the heart. And I stood up. Not because it made sense. I had a lot yet to learn, and I would and still am learning a lot. But because it was time for me to respond to that burning heart. Because I knew that not only did this make sense, but it was true. That God was reaching out for me. They knew Jesus was in their midst. Their hearts were burning while they were on the road, even though they couldn't really explain it. That's why we believe. Because of the testimonies, because of the Scriptures, because Jesus is among us, especially as He has given us this meal to celebrate time after time. Because our hearts burn when we hear this great story. But finally, it's because of God. It's a strange thing. Whenever Jesus appears, he's never recognized after the resurrection. Always takes a little while. But I think that doubt, that hesitation, that way the disciples always have to be convinced, to me that makes it sound all the more a true story. It's not a story you would make up. We make up more heroic stories. But this time they don't recognize him, and it seems a little different. The wording's a little different. It says in verse 16 that they were kept from recognizing him. And then when he breaks the bread, he's sitting right there in front of them. When he breaks the bread and gives it to them, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. It's not them. It's not simply that they don't get it. It's God who is keeping them from seeing. And finally, God who allows them to see. And certainly that is how ultimately we truly come to faith. Not by our accomplishment and our thinking, or our efforts, or even our final decision to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's always because God has shown us himself, because God has opened our eyes, because God is the one who says, "You, come." He has acted first. He is the one who has revealed himself. And our faith, our standing up, our dedicating ourselves is a response to the one who has reached out to us already in his love and his mercy. That's what happens to these disciples. And they're finally allowed to see, even though their hearts were burning. And now they rush back to declare that Jesus is alive. We believe because of God and his work in us, in reaching out to us and drawing us to him. Can't be manufactured, can't be forced. Can only be given by God's grace, who gives it. Amen.